Hey Northridge, welcome to Table Talk, where we sit around the table, kind of go beyond the Sunday service and talk about some things that will help you connect to Jesus and the church. Today I'm excited because I have an opportunity to sit down with Joey Tusillo. He's our new student pastor, and I get to spend a little bit of time getting to know him, and I think you're going to enjoy getting to know him as well. If you've got a student, we want to invite you to watch this with them, get to know him a little bit, and then get them connected to our student ministry. Hope you enjoy the conversation. Hey Joey, glad that you're here. Excited that we get an opportunity to interview you so everybody can get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah.
We're excited about this. So first question is a really, really important question. And it's going to tell us a lot about you. But are there more doors or wheels in the world right now?
Okay, so I've heard this question before. I think that there's more wheels in the world than doors.
You got to defend that.
I think about cars, and then even drawers and desks or cabinets.
But cars, you got four doors, and then you got four wheels.
No, but
plus you've got one in the back because it's
and a steering wheel, so it evens out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot.
But I don't know. I feel like I've been going back and forth between this. But I think wheels definitely, like a shopping cart. Mm-hmm. Like if you go to like Target or Walmart, like they've got hundreds of those shopping carts with all the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doors on them.
That's true. That's true. But you got to think about like hotels and stuff and how many doors are in that place. I change my mind every time I hear somebody make an argument because I'm like, yep, that's got to be it. That's the right answer.
Oh. Okay, but there's doors in an apartment, like outdoors. I don't know. I feel like I can go both ways. Oh
yeah.
Gosh,
that's a big question. So that's something that you got to spend some time thinking about. So maybe these will be a little bit easier because really what we're wanting to do is talk about you a little bit and give people a chance to get to know you, not necessarily your thought process on doors and wheels or anything like that, but just on your background and kind of what makes you tick. So, the first thing is just tell us about your childhood. You know, where you're coming from.
So I'm actually a child of adoption. I was adopted when I was 6 or 7 years old. So I went through foster care a little bit and bounced from different family members to different homes when I was a kid. But like I said, I was adopted when I was 7. And I've been with that family ever since. So they're my forever family. But my adopted parents, they went to church every single day. My dad was the chairman of the board and my mom was a Sunday school teacher. So that meant that we were at church literally every single day, which was awesome. I loved it. And so I grew up going to the church and I loved it. I loved it. Yeah.
And this was in Florida?
Yeah. So I grew up in Tampa, Florida. So it's a big city, a little bit different than Milledgeville, Georgia, but we're excited about being here. Just a different change of pace is always good in life. So yeah, I'm from Florida, traded the beach for the lake, which is totally okay with me.
It's a little bit different.
It is just a bit different.
Less hurricanes, though. So that's the best thing you got going for you.
Go Canes. Yeah,
we don't want to introduce everybody to that passion. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you share an office with Jonathan. So we actually have two people that are Miami Hurricanes fans in one office.
What are the odds that we got put in the same office? So I've got all my helmets and all my stuff hung up there.
Yeah, we're going to work on converting you over. So
yeah.
You'd be a Miami fan for a little while because Mark Richt was there. And that was the connection for those of us that are here in Georgia.
Yeah.
But he's gone and we don't care about him anymore.
Right.
So
us either. So
we'll convert you. So all right. So you were adopted. You were adopted into a Christian home. You were at church on a regular basis. When did you decide to follow Jesus? When did that become personal for you?
Yeah. So all of my friends really made that decision kind of younger in life. And my dad and mom said, you need to wait until this is a decision you're going to make and not your friends are going to make. So I got baptized when I was 12 years old at a camp in Florida. And it was actually 4th of July. So
we have fireworks for your spiritual birthday.
And it's like a freedom day, you know? It was really cool. But I just heard a message about choosing the right team. And there's going to be a team that wins all of it at the end of it. And why would I want to be on a team that loses? And it was cool. The guy talked about being wanted and how there's a God who always wants you. And that struck a chord with me going through adoption, right? Like all the different families. I always equated it to like a tomato at a, like a produce store. You walk up to a tomato and you squeeze it and see if you want it. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it felt like I just got put back on the shelf. But knowing God, he's always going to pick you up and he'll buy the whole grocery store. Mm-hmm. So I knew that God wanted me, and it was just comforting and knowing that he was always going to love me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I got baptized when I was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. In the lake. It was awesome.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, it was actually when you shared that with us during the interview process, that was the moment I knew we were going to hire you.
Oh, yeah.
So I think when you shared that, you talked about, I felt like I was wanted, and I want to do ministry so that I can make sure every other student feels wanted like I felt.
Yeah,
and immediately, I'm not an emotional person, but I had a little bit of, you know, teary eyes, and I thought, man, because I had a 12-year-old, and I thought, I want my 12-year-old to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge. And that was the moment that I decided that we were going to bring you to Milledgeville, no matter what it took. So
yeah.
I don't think I've told you that yet.
Nah.
So, well, that's who baptized you?
It was a counselor. His name was Lucas.
Okay.
But I've not seen him since. I feel like that's a lot of what happens at camp.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
Yeah, his name was Lucas. We called him Cuddle Bear.
Uh-huh.
His wife was at camp and they like kept hugging each other. So it was just funny.
So everybody should go to camp as a counselor because you have no idea what kind of impact you're going to have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't even know what kids you'll be with.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Man, you could play such an influential role in their life. And you just got to take this step to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that why you love camp so much?
It is. A lot of fun memories at camp. I grew up going to camp ever since I was adopted, like that first summer. And I've not missed a summer since.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that was being a camper or a counselor or being a co-dean, like I absolutely love camp. I mean, throughout the summer, thousands of kids make a decision for Jesus because they've got no distractions and they're there to focus on the thing that matters most in their life. And
mm-hmm.
Man, it's powerful. So yeah, I'm a big fan of camp.
That's
love
awesome.
Camp.
That's awesome. Well, and that was why we wanted to bring you out like the day you interviewed, and we were like, just get your stuff and
come,
come right back. And I think you had 4 weeks this summer that you were at camp?
Yeah, 3 weeks. And then we had VBS too.
Okay.
And it was, man, it was a lot. Most
uh-huh.
of it was back to back.
Uh-huh.
So, man, that week we moved, I was taking naps every chance that I could.
Yeah.
And we went to CIY in the Cleveland, Tennessee at
mm-hmm.
Lee University.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really cool week. Really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. Well, and camp is something that's important, you know, for our church too. You know,
right.
We're very involved with camp, and you're taking middle school students up to camp here in just a few weeks.
Yeah, the fall retreat.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be so fun.
Just advertise the high school retreat that's coming up for the
right
students as well. So,
yeah.
So you're going to have plenty of opportunities to be at camp
and
have those experiences with some students too. So that's when you decided to accept Jesus and you got baptized. When did you decide to go into ministry?
So I was pretty young. My youth pastor, who was really influential in my life, he asked me when I was in 7th or 8th grade and
mm-hmm.
just said, have you ever thought about going into ministry?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer was no,
mm-hmm.
because no, I never thought about that. I think I wanted to be an architect or something. But as I went through my high school career, I realized like serving in the church was what I loved the most and helping people understand who Jesus is and what he did for them. And so I made that decision when I was somewhere in high school, but I just remember that conversation with my youth pastor in middle school
mm-hmm.
and thinking, okay, maybe, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Johnson University and that was the only choice of school for me.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that there was other kids from our youth group that went there and heard it was a good time. And so
mm-hmm.
I went and got my degree in preaching and church leadership, which
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have traded for anything. It was probably the best 4 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So much fun.
So far.
There. So far. Yeah. So far. But just made a really big life change on me.
Mm-hmm.
Being around other people who are like mine, there for the right reasons
mm-hmm.
too. So, yeah.
I love the fact that it was somebody that talked to you and saw that in you before you
right.
saw that in you.
Yeah.
Because that's huge. I can look back on my life and all the times that somebody said something to me like that.
Right.
It wasn't even on my radar at the time. The funny thing is, though, you talk about wanting to be an architect. My goal in life was to be an architect.
Oh,
I
really?
I used to like lay in front of the TV when I was in like 5th, 6th, 7th grade,
yeah.
and I would like draw out houses.
Same.
And
I was
convinced that's what I was going to do. And my thought process was, I'm going to go make a bunch of money being an architect. That was my goal.
Yeah.
And then I started to feel the same thing you did about 7th grade, 8th
yeah.
grade, and decided to go into ministry. And the big fight I had with with God was, no, I'm going to make a lot of money doing this. I'm not going to make any money doing this. And I wrestled with God over that before accepting the call to go into ministry. So that's kind of cool that it was a very similar path and a similar timeline as well. So that's pretty cool. What made you decide you're going into ministry? You served for how long at your last church?
So we were at our last church for almost 3 years. Okay. It was just a little over 2.
Right through COVID and all of that stuff?
Yeah, so I started and then 2 months later, COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And it was so bizarre. I did not think that my first years in ministry would be spent trying to figure out how to do church and like with no community, it felt like. So it was interesting for sure. But,
and I think student ministry was probably impacted more than any other area in the church, which is weird to say because you expect students to be able to adjust to Zoom and online. But I think they do it so much in their personal life.
Yeah.
They didn't really want to engage in that in any other structured way.
Yeah.
And so I know every church I talked to struggled with student ministry during the COVID season. So
yeah, it was hard. I would probably say 6 months, it was hard to gain traction just because you're trying to figure out who these new people are through a computer. Mm-hmm. But once we were able to get in person for the short amount of time before the next wave of COVID hit, it was really, really cool to see kids showing up. The last church we were at, they didn't have a youth ministry program before that. Mm-hmm. So we built a whole new program, all new students, and it was just amazing to see kind of where we landed at the end of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very rewarding season of life, I felt.
Well, that's awesome. Sounds like you learned a lot in that experience.
Yeah.
I know you talked a lot with us about how you started with, one leader or something that you kind of inherited, but you built it up to where you had...
We had 8 or 9 leaders, and then we started out with 6 students, and we ended up with 30.
Okay.
So over COVID...
In the midst of COVID and everything.
Yeah, in 3 years, and we grew.
That's huge.
Yeah.
It sounds like it was a culture shift more than anything else.
It was.
Because when you go from just having one leader, it goes from a Sunday school class to a ministry you're running. So that's cool that you had that kind of success then. So you had all that going on. What made you decide that you wanted to come to Northridge?
I was just looking for a change, really. I wanted to be a part of a church that really just cared for the next generation. Mm-hmm. And honestly, for saving lost people, I'm all about growing and helping people make decisions to help their relationship with Christ, but also to mature, right? Mature Christians, they help other Christians mature. And so being a part of a church that's actively doing that and doing it really well, I would say, made me think that this was a no-brainer. Like, let's just switch it up. Mm-hmm. Plus, Will Elmore was one of my friends in college.
Yeah.
So when he told me the position was available, we just prayed about it, and God made it really clear to us that it was time to go.
Time to trade the ocean for a lake.
That's right. Yeah, for sure. Not looking back.
Well, that's perfect. All right. Well, so, but you spent a lot of time there, and I know you had some great experiences in that place, learning opportunities, and I know you did ministry and built some relationships. What's something that, as you look back on your previous ministry, that you just say, that's a memory I'm going to hold on to forever, because that was an important moment?
Well, we were in schools a lot. That was my biggest mission field. I still believe that man, there's so many students out there who need to be reached.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in schools 3 times a week at our last church and just pouring in where I could and volunteering with different ministries. There was a few students that started coming to our church, but there was one in particular that, man, just the last 2 months that we were there made so much life changing. It was so cool. Some of his friends actually got arrested, and they had lit a shed at the school on fire. Mm-hmm. And so this student, he didn't have any friends, like all of his friends were in juvie. And so he started to come to church more because he had no one else. Mm-hmm. And he knew that he had a relationship with me and some of the other leaders. Mm-hmm. And he signed up to go to CIY, which was huge. Like, this kid has never heard about Jesus before. Like, he's never come to church before, and he signed up. And we were stoked. So he came on the trip, and I just had a feeling like God was stirring in him. And so I was praying, God, just make it happen this week. And it was the last week that we were actually in Florida with them. And so I said, God, it's either now or bust. Like, I either take him to this point and someone picks up, or I take him all the way. And God, you get to make that decision. Mm-hmm. So one of the nights at CIY, it was the story about the prodigal son, which you obviously know that. But at the end of the story, the father gives the son a ring and his cloak. And it's supposed to signify like you're home, like you're always welcome here. And CIY did something really cool. They gave a silicone ring, something like this. And they said, students, your leaders around the room, if you feel like you need to make a decision to come home and accept Jesus, then make your way to your leader and they have something for you. Mm-hmm. So I'm standing in the back of the room. The dean of the camp of CIY is standing to my left. And I'm just praying, like I'm sweating. I'm like about crying. And I'm like, God, just let this kid come over here. Come on, like make him come. And there was three songs that passed by. That's like 15 minutes. And the last song, he's like looking back at me and he's not sure, but I can see he's about to cry. And so I was like, I got a Hail Mary pass. So I gave the dean of the camp the ring and I said, pray for this kid by name. And it was 5 minutes. And finally, this kid came running over to me, gave me a hug. And it was the most prodigal son feeling that I've ever felt in my life. Like, this kid understood who Jesus was and wanted him in his life. And so I snatched the ring back from the dean. And I was like, bro, you're welcome home. And I just said, hey, man, like, I want you to share everything that's going on in your heart in small group. And so we started to share. And there was another kid that I'd gotten from a school. And he had raised his hand and said, I want to make a decision too. And I was like, let's go, God. Like, thank you so much. And it was just cool to see for 2 years to see both of these kids make a transition from living in worldliness to coming to Jesus and wanting to know him more in a relationship. It was so amazing and so rewarding. Mm-hmm. But that was probably one of the moments that I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. But that happens every year at CIY. Mm-hmm. But man, that was just an amazing moment.
Well, you said it already. There's just something about disconnecting from everything else in the world and just going to a place where we're going to focus on Jesus for a little while. And it breaks down walls like that and allows cool things to happen. So that's awesome. Well, I hope you have like 500 stories just like that from this ministry.
Absolutely.
Over the next few years. That's what we're going to be praying for. Mm-hmm. So, well, tell me, because you're married. So
yes, I am married.
Tell me about your wife.
Her name is Tabby. Mm-hmm. She is a fourth grade teacher at JMA. And she just started there, just a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And she's killing it. She is from Ohio, so she's an Ohio State fan. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily
just
have a problem.
Miami. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it, but when the season rolls around, we tend not to watch their games. Uh-huh. Just because I can't stand it. But she was from Ohio. They moved around a little bit. And then her middle school and high school career, she lived in Georgia. Her parents work at a school over in Henry County. And so this is home to her. Mm-hmm. Georgia's home to her. And so I met her actually at college. We went to Johnson University. And I remember seeing her for the first time. It was so awkward. I wanted to wave at her. But I had a girlfriend at the time. And so I had to quickly make a decision to drive to this girl's college, break up with her so I could come back. And
just so you could ask
Tabby
out?
Yeah, and get her number. She was pretty persistent about not giving me her number while I was dating someone else, which is good on her. But so we
can't
started,
wait until you do a dating series with
right.
the students. This is going to be great.
We started dating, and then she actually dumped me. She dumped me for 7 months, which was terrible. But she was still into me, and I was really into her, and we ended up picking things back up, and we got married a little over 2 years ago. So we're new to this, but man, it has been just so much fun having your person around all the time and doing life with them. She loves the color yellow, and she really wants us to get a dog, which might happen, but we'll wait to see on that one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's amazing. She's an extrovert. She could talk to anybody all day until the sun goes down. And I love that about her. She's so good with relationships and her servant and student ministry. I mean, it's pretty dynamite to have mm-hmm. someone like that to be a part of your team. So mm-hmm. I'm really thankful for her.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. We're grateful for her too. So we're excited about her ministry at John Millage.
Yes.
Not just here, but we're excited to have her plugged in here working too. So that's awesome. So what do you do for fun outside of work? You can't go to the ocean anymore.
That's right.
Not very often. So
I like to go for walks. I've never been like truly hiking. So I'm hoping to pick that up here, but I love disc golf. I have a disc golf net that I practice on.
I think we got one of those coming from what I've heard. Yeah. So
sweet.
Maybe an opportunity in the near future.
Like here in Millsville?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome. So I love to do that. I play golf every once in a while, but I love to do anything athletic, play basketball or football. I love to be just outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I also play video games every once in a while. Big fan of Apex.
Mm-hmm.
Legends.
I'm gonna pretend like I know what that is.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. But
I play Smash Brothers with my 6-year-old.
Oh yeah,
that's about the extent of my video games these days.
That's pretty good too. But yeah, I love doing just about anything. I'm pretty artistic. I like to paint
mm-hmm.
and draw and stuff like that. Obviously, architect.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's probably most of what I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
But last night I went to the lake lot and hung out and just sat in the water and it was awesome.
Just by yourself?
No,
sitting in the water?
With Taddy.
Okay,
but
okay.
I love...
If you go by a lake lot and just see Joey sitting out there in
yeah.
the water all by himself,
he's okay.
Yeah,
he's
all right. He's designing a house. He's planning a sermon. Just let him go.
That's right. I love being in the water. That's one of my favorite things. Being from Florida, you're always around it. So, yeah, I love being near the water. It's so good.
Well, I know when you were interviewing and we took you out to the lake lot, I think you and Tabby both just went, like your jaw hit the floor.
Really?
This is
yes.
such a cool space. And that's brand new to us. We're just now getting to the point where we're using it on a regular basis.
I mean,
so I can't wait to see what y'all do with it for student ministry.
I'm excited too. There's got to be, there's untapped potential.
Uh-huh,
so much
uh-huh.
you can do there. But yeah, man, we stepped on a foot on that property and I was like, whoa,
uh-huh.
this is cool.
Uh-huh.
This is cool.
And that was our COVID building project. So,
oh,
I mean,
nice.
that was brand new for us. And,
yeah.
and I think we took you guys there. We had very few people that had used it so far.
Mm.
So at this point, we're trying to use it every weekend we can
yeah.
for something. So I'm excited because I think it's going to be cool to see a bunch of teens out there.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
All right. Do you collect anything?
I do. Yes. You can visit my office. I collect Funko Pops, but not just any Funko Pops.
Mm-hmm.
I collect very specifically Marvel. I've gotten a few DC, I even got some The Office ones,
mm-hmm.
but I am a big fan of Marvel and all the superheroes. Right now, I'm kind of on the fence about just collecting two superheroes,
mm-hmm.
Wolverine and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
If I could be any superhero, I would be a mashup of those two.
Okay.
I mean, how amazing would that be?
So you can shoot out like webs and spikes at
yes.
the same time? Okay.
How? And you could like smell, you know, pretty much indestructible.
I can smell.
Okay.
Right now.
Oh my gosh. You're not. But Wolverine can like smell
okay.
like super well. Anyways, I would definitely be one of those two. But yeah, I collect Funko Pops. I think they're kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
They're bobbleheads.
Mm-hmm.
So I got like 70 of them.
70 of them.
Yeah, they're all $10 each.
Yeah.
So
if anybody's looking for a gift to give you,
yeah.
that's what they need to do.
A Marvel Funko Pop.
Marvel Funko Pop.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
My wife's not too happy that I collect them. But
all over the bedroom wall and...
Yeah. She would never. No way she would let me do that. My closet is where
okay.
I get to keep them.
Okay.
But, yeah. Marvel Funko Pops, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you could say anything to parents right now, because that's a big part of our strategy is partnering with parents. And one of the things we loved when we interviewed you was that was an emphasis for you as
yeah.
well. So there was, I mean, a lot of, we already had a lot in common as far as how we do ministry and
yeah.
stuff. So what would you say to parents right now as you're stepping into this position, parents of students?
Yeah, I would say that you kind of set the pace for everything as a parent. And that goes with our student ministry too. Like
mm-hmm.
if you are the biggest fan of it, then your students and your kids will also be
mm-hmm.
the biggest fans of it. So my biggest encouragement is be a fan, but also make it a priority for them.
Mm-hmm.
All the other things that happen in life, whether it be sports or band, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Those things are second in your relationship with Jesus. You can use those, to reach people, but number one, is Jesus. So kind of help your kid make Jesus a priority and church a priority,
mm-hmm.
but also just be a big fan. Support our ministry in any way that you can and them in going. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's what I would say.
That's good. Well, and a lot of, because we have been through a few youth pastors over the past few years, and a lot of times in my experience, it's the high school students that suffer from that the most, because they just disengage and they start to doubt whether anybody's going to stay for the long haul.
And so I think
a lot of times it's that push from the parents that says, go give it a shot, go
try
it,
absolutely,
go build a relationship, and over time that trust is going to be built.
Yes, I think the more that you allow opportunities for a relationship to happen, the stickier they're going to be. They're going to want to be around. They're going to want to hang out and have conversations. And we've already seen some of that happen. And we're winning big time. But the more parents get to be involved with that, the more we'll win.
So yeah.
I'm excited about
that.
Well,
that's what I think, because I was out there last week. It was your kickoff.
Yeah.
And you had like, what, 85 students. With more adults than, I mean, we've ever seen plugged into that student ministry in that night. And I texted you afterwards and I said, the best thing I saw you do, there's a lot of good. The best thing was you called out the high school students and spent some time with them one-on-one. And you already started doing that work of building trust and saying, hey, I respect you. I trust you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to have the same attitude towards me. And let's break down those walls. So I thought that was a huge moment for them.
It was intentional. Like they need to know that we're here for them. And we're going to do everything that we can to support them, go to games, go to concerts, anything that we can. So I just wanted to affirm them in that because they just need to know that we're here for them. There's someone in their corner.
Well, and I think that's huge for parents to hear that and understand that, too.
We
talk a lot, you got to widen the circle of influence with your kids. And the older your kids get, the less they're going to come to their parents over specific issues. So as the parents, strategically place them in environments where they're going to build a relationship with somebody like you or Tabby or any of these leaders you got plugged in, and it's going to make a huge impact on their lives.
Absolutely.
So yeah, get them to the program, get them to the camps and the retreats, and just give it a shot, and they'll want to go back after
That's what I think.
Absolutely. Well, after last weekend, I think that's going to be the case, or last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday.
It's going to be the case because it was a fun environment. I know my kid left talking about it nonstop. I've had other people that have talked about it nonstop and talked about the experience. So this is going to be a weekly thing. This wasn't just a one-time shop. This is every single Wednesday night. Why don't you tell us what middle and high school students can expect from this?
Yeah, this Wednesday, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to kind of make sure that we have worship a part of every single week. Last week was the first week we had just a live band. I mean, a full band where there's five or six people up on stage leading hyped worship where students can engage in that. But we'll have typical games. My hope is to do kind of a super big game once a month. But every week we'll do stage games where kids can come up and just do something really silly. Tomorrow we're going to do some dizzy yoga.
Okay.
It's going to be hilarious, but we're really excited about it. But
can you give us an example of what dizzy... No, I'm just kidding.
No. But like basically, you put your head on a bat, you know, wiffle ball where you like spin around 10 times and then you have to strike a yoga pose.
Okay.
Right. It's going to be so funny. And just come to find out. And then every week we'll have a message that's geared towards middle school and high school students. And that's going to be really big, making sure that they're able to understand and engage in the message and have a part in that. And then the biggest thing we want to emphasize is small groups. Every single grade will have a small group and a small group leader if they don't have two. And this will be a time where they truly get to show up, feel valued, feel known, and be heard by someone who loves and cares for them. So every single week, those would be different things that they can see and experience. And we'll have food and they'll have time to kind of hang out with their friends. So every week we'll shoot for that, but I don't think we'll disappoint. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So 6 to 8 o'clock, right?
6 to 8 o'clock.
6 to 8 o'clock every single Wednesday.
Every single Wednesday.
Okay, cool.
NSM.
Awesome.
It's going to be great.
Well, that's exciting. And if they want to find out more about that, is it social media?
Social media, on our Instagram page, North_students, or they'll be getting emails here soon, too.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. Well, that's exciting, man. It's good to get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah.
I hope everybody else got to know you a little bit better, too. And we're looking forward to all the good things that are going to happen in this ministry.
Sweet. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks for joining us for Table Talk. You can keep up with what's happening at Northridge on your mobile device through our Northridge Christian app. If you want to continue to dive deeper with us in this content, please like, subscribe, and share this show.